Hey everyone, and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Thursday, June 19th, 2025. Half a year is nearly gone. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I am Anika Ellis-Baby, and we have got a packed show for you today.
And the very first thing that we're going to discuss is Al Habtoor Group is looking at a potential IPO for their hospitality portfolio. They have a lot of portfolios, and hospitality is one of the biggest. So that Chris Fate's Fate is a local success story. He just posted about 33% growth. We'll discuss it in detail. And UAE was world's second fastest growing millionaire hub in USD terms in 2024. The Global Wealth Report 2025 by UBS has been published. It's a nice story. We'll discuss that also. And we'll start with the biggest news. One of UAE's most prominent business families may soon take a major step in public markets, and that's the Al Habtoor Group. Himself, the chairman, the founding chairman, Khalaf Al Habtoor, announced on all social media channels that the Al Habtoor Group is seriously considering an initial public offering, an IPO, of its hospitality portfolio, a move that could reshape the private conglomerate's future after more than five decades of private growth.
The news came directly from founder and chairman Khalaf Al Habtoor, who said, "We are seriously considering an initial public offering of our distinguished hospitality portfolio on the UAE stock market, a first step that may be followed by other sectors in the future." He also added that the move reflects the group's commitment to transparency, sustainability, investment and trust.
And then so basically Al Habtoor Hospitality's portfolio includes major assets such as the Waldorf Astoria, Palm Jumeirah, the Ras Al Khaimah one is also very beautiful, Al Habtoor Palace in Dubai, Hilton Dubai, Al Habtoor City, and properties across London, Vienna, Budapest, Beirut, and the US.
The chairman emphasized that this was not about proving strength, but opening the door for citizens and investors, especially the youth, to join a trusted institution that proudly carries the UAE name across global markets.
And he didn't give any details of the IPO, but we are waiting for it. And soon we will get all the details in due course. But Habtoor concluded with a very confident message. I loved it. Our ambition has no limits. And with God's help, the best is yet to come. And with such a big empire, if he's saying the best is yet to come, imagine what is yet to come. Yeah. So I saw just to give you a list of all the properties that come under hospitality portfolio. It's very interesting. So there's Al Habtoor Grand Resort, Autograph Collection, Dubai, Waldorf Astoria, Dubai, yeah. Palm Jumeirah, Al Habtoor Palace, V Hotel Dubai, Hilton Dubai, Metropolitan Hotel Dubai, Al Habtoor Polo Resort. And this is just UAE.
These are some amazing properties in the city.
And then you've been to
a lot of them.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. Been to a lot of them, thanks to my wife. But internationally, then you go and then you look at the UAE portfolio and you're like, this is going to be a blockbuster IPO.
Yeah.
Because everyone would want
a part of it?
I would 100% invest in this. The only problem
this
I have...
This is not investment advice.
Yeah, this is not investment advice, but I would 100% go in because they have such beautiful buildings. It's not just the number of hotels and the big names. They're so beautiful. The Al Habtoor Palace here, very
beautiful. It is. You know, every year they do the winter market, winter festival thing. And every year I go there because on Instagram it looks absolutely amazing. Although I personally don't think there's much to do once you go there. But just... the aesthetic of it, to go there. So there's a lot of work and a lot of craft in the architecture of the building that makes the property look stunning.
And internationally, there's Imperial Hotel. I'll just say the name and the area. So it's in Austria. He has a hotel in Austria. Hilton London in Wembley, United Kingdom, UK. Al Habtoor Grand Beirut, Lebanon, which we very famously covered that he's trying to break it into parts and ship it to somewhere else. A lot of people are saying it's Syria because he's very bullish on Syria right now.
Yes, he is. And he's not very keen on Lebanon anymore.
Yeah, he said that he's completely cashing out of Lebanon because of the political uncertainty. Then he has another hotel. This was surprising for me because I thought it was only one hotel. But there's Metropolitan Palace Beirut also. So that's there. USA, he has President Abraham Lincoln Springfield DoubleTree by Hilton. So a US investment, Intercontinental Budapest, that's Hungary, and Al Habtoor Palace Budapest, which is also in Hungary. So he has a lot of palaces.
He does. I think that is what the grand royal appeal that they're going for. They are going to, like, they do look at building palaces or palatial type of structures. So it's very interesting. And I like the idea of, I like that he's trying to appeal to young investors.
Yeah. That's, I think you look at Habtur in the last 4 or 5 months, what we've seen, he's very active on social media now.
Yes,
he's always
he
giving suggestions.
He has so many opinions on Twitter, on X. We were just talking about this the other day. Every single incident, anything that happens in the Middle East, the GCC, or even like abroad, he has an opinion.
Yeah, and also the interesting thing is, opinion-wise, good, but he's always posting like du'as and blessings and being thankful.
Every morning he starts with a prayer tweet, and then he goes on to his opinions.
It looks like his dear diary, like everything he has to say. He's finally found an outlet where he can share like 55 years of experience.
I like that. I like that it makes billionaires so accessible.
Yeah. I would love like other billionaires to be active. Like Mr. Al Abbar, he was active, but he's disappeared. He only posts like Imar posts now, or Eid posts.
Yes.
He's been out of the picture. Otherwise, he used to post a lot. I would love to see Mohammed bin Ghati's comments. He goes to events, does a lot of speaking, but he should be active, like give his opinions on social media. We shared a video of Noor Sweet. She's the founder.
Yes.
She is very now active on social media since her book came out. So I would love all these people to be on social media. And I think, I remember Rich and I had a very interesting conversation, and Rich, I was telling him like, we should do more interviews and this and that. And he had a very nice idea that there was a time when legacy media was the thing and you would call them and ask them questions, they'll give you answers and you'll write it down. Now they're literally giving you answers on LinkedIn, on X. So you can easily interview them by not interviewing them. So it's become accessible through social media. So thank you, Mr. Khalaf Al Habtur, for being so forward on social media. And very much looking forward to this IPO whenever it happens. Talking about some other entrepreneurs, these are the legacy entrepreneurs, and then there are some budding entrepreneurs. UAE radio personality turned entrepreneur Chris Fade is celebrating a major milestone with Fade Fit, his family-run healthy snack brand. We have them in our pantry also.
Yes, we do.
What began as a passion project for his children has now evolved into a regional success story.
Now, Fade Fit has experienced a 33% year-to-date growth and has rapidly expanded beyond the UAE into Saudi Arabia and other GCC markets. Chris Fade shared the news on Instagram, stating, "Fade Fit snacks are looking solid in stores across the UAE. We've expanded heavily now into KSA and across the GCC. Our growth is at 33% Y2D and expecting that to triple by next year."
And founded in 2018 with just 30,000 dirhams after Chris's own fitness journey, the brand offers a range of protein, packed snacks, kids' treats, vitamins and more, all manufactured locally in the UAE.
Fade Fit sells in major supermarkets such as Carrefour, Spinneys, Lulu and international chains like Starbucks. Its product lineup includes protein puffs, balls, bars, nuts, kids' snacks, energy bites and multivitamins.
And what makes Fade Fit unique is its family-centric origin created by Chris for his children. And it's a mission to provide a healthier option for everyone. With revenue growth on track to triple next year, the brand is positioned as one of the fastest growing UAE wellness companies in the region. And we've seen Humantra also there.
Yes.
There. A lot of companies which are now growing, like starting from UAE, growing from UAE, sourcing UAE stuff, we're seeing that they're growing, which shows the overall maturity of the whole country, right? That local brands are becoming global brands. So we did the post and he collaborated and a lot of people were commenting, but the funniest comments were people like, when are you coming to Canada? When are you coming to India? When are you coming to US? And we were like, Chris, when?
There is so much demand. So did he respond?
Hopefully he will. I want him to respond. We can make another story out of it. He's going soon to US. But yeah, a lot of people are asking for it. They want a taste of it.
You know, when I go home, we listen to Chris Fade on the radio. Just yesterday, we heard him talking to Big Rossi, I believe, during the show. And no, I'm not sure if they were having the conversation about fitness, about Big Rossi's fitness, but, you know, about how one of them was trying to take one of those injections, Mojaro.
Oh, yeah.
Or, what was the other one? Ozempic, Mounjaro, yeah. One of those. And Chris Fade was kind of advertising the whole fitness lifestyle.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he works out 6 days out of seven. And I just think it's really nice, like, as an entrepreneur, it's a great entrepreneurial lesson right there. The fact that you only start a brand of something you believe in.
Yeah. You preach what you do.
Exactly.
You don't you're like, oh, I'm not into fitness, but I'll start a fitness brand.
Exactly.
You can't do that. So, yeah, it's a very nice idea.
I love that he's so passionate about it, and then it started for such a good cause. It's snacks that are healthier relatively compared to
kids,
others.
Making those snacks for kids and kids actually liking them, it's a very big problem
it's a big accomplishment, actually.
So, yeah, thank you so much, Chris Fade, for doing this. And since we're talking about that, UAE has helped him and he was in the UAE and somehow he's a UAE-born entrepreneur. Let's come back to UAE now.
Yes.
The UAE has emerged as the world's second fastest growing millionaire hub in 2024 in US dollar terms, adding 13,000 new millionaires, a surge of 5.8% according to UBS's Global Wealth Report 2025. This places the Emirates just behind Turkey, which saw an 8.4% increase.
The UAE's millionaire population now stands at 240,300, with total wealth of $785 billion. Wealth distribution is heavily skewed towards financial instruments, 62%, and property and land, that's 48%, while personal debt remains low at just 9%.
And just right next to us, our neighbors, which are in the MENA region, Saudi Arabia still leads the region with 339,000 millionaires, up 15,000, that's plus 4.8%, and slightly lower debt at 5.7%. Compared to its neighbor, the UAE's expansion has been more rapid.
Despite a 23% increase in median wealth since 2020, the UAE saw a real terms dip of nearly 3% in 2024, reflecting ongoing inflation. UBS highlights this as part of broader global wealth trends.
And looking ahead, UBS warns that both UAE and Saudi markets will undergo a pivotal generational wealth transfer, with around $122 billion expected to change hands. Globally, private wealth rose 4.6% in 2024, led by the US, which added 379,000 millionaires, over 1,000 per day, still accounting for nearly 40% of millionaires worldwide. And this was interesting, the money going from one generation to the next, because the next generation is ready. We've seen this with leadership as well. In Dubai, you look at His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid, Sheikh Hamdan is there to lead.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. Whenever we see some event, something, it's Sheikh Hamdan. In Abu Dhabi, you go, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, His Highness the President. You always see the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi leading a lot of
Sheikh
things.
Ali.
So, yeah, it's very interesting that it finally the time has come where everything at the level of leadership is transferring. And then money-wise also, all
there
the big businesses,
right.
They're just forwarding the money to like, okay, now your turn.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, I know that a lot of, it's catching on, the fact that UAE is becoming a place to look out for. Thanks to Disneyland, actually.
Yeah.
The whole Disneyland announcement has really globalized UAE.
Yeah.
Everyone, now anyone who wasn't looking already is now very keen to look at the UAE and wonder, okay, what's going on here that Disneyland thought
Disneyland.
It was good enough.
Yeah.
And there's, I saw a TikTok yesterday about this lady talking about, you know, all the money is actually coming to Abu Dhabi. Everyone's looking at the Silicon Valley, but actually you should be looking at Abu Dhabi because they own around 1.7 trillion wealth. And
sovereign wealth funds, they're like $1.7 trillion.
Yes.
The richest city in the world.
So I think, you know, I think it's interesting that the UAE is actually that stage where they're transferring their wealth to the next generation.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Saudi is in that stage where they're building the wealth right now. I think that is why entrepreneurs get very excited at the idea of Saudi, because Saudi is where you can go to still play.
Yeah.
But Dubai is still, well, not Dubai, but the UAE is still relatively a bit more established. So it makes sense.
And UAE has this advantage. I remember we interviewed the Todd, VP of Sales and Marketing. He said a very interesting thing, which you can apply here as well. He said, we're a very sports-first platform. So we show a live match. A lot of people come for the live match.
Yeah.
They buy the subscription, and then they stay for entertainment and kids' dramas and Turkish dramas and Arabic dramas. So he's like, we bring them in through one thing, and then we keep them there through the other thing. You apply that example to UAE, you bring them in through Dubai. Dubai is the flashy, the lifestyle, the highest
extrovert.
He brings you in, and then once you're settled and you're like, okay, enough party and enough entertainment and enough all of things, you start moving here and there.
Establishing yourself in
You're like, okay, business Abu Dhabi has a lot of money. A lot of people are looking to invest.
I just Rasa heard, Khema, I was during a conversation yesterday that the golden visa is apparently much easier to get in Abu Dhabi as opposed to
I think
in
the
Dubai.
Category differentiation, because my wife got it from Abu Dhabi, not Dubai, and she applied at both places. The category differentiation is a little more specific in Abu Dhabi. So as a journalist, you can't apply as a journalist in Dubai. The category doesn't say journalist.
It says writer
or something. So Abu Dhabi has a journalist category. So I think it's just the category thing. You fit into a category very easily in Abu Dhabi. But they take a little more time. So the golden visa process in Dubai, you get an answer in within 2-3 weeks, maximum 1 month.
Right.
Abu Dhabi takes a longer process. But yeah, better categories. So yeah, you have your pros and cons everywhere. Golden visa is one of the ways to come to UAE. If you're a high net worth individual, if you have a business and you're moving it here, they have opened the gates for everyone to come. So it's your chance to come. And just to finish on the note, we shared a video. It will be live in some time. So ADIO, Abu Dhabi Investment Office, they recently did an event. Smashy Business was the partner. And there, the head of ADIO, so Abu Dhabi Investment basically, His Excellency Badr Al Ulama, he said a very nice thing. He said, Abu Dhabi is not a city that we're building for livability. Livability-wise, all seven Emirates are livable.
Right.
The whole world is livable if you're ready to compromise. He's like, we're trying to build a city which is where lovability is the main thing. And I was like, what does that mean? And then he goes on to explain it. Like, he's like, if a person comes to Abu Dhabi, we want him to love it. So he'll love it, he'll bring his family, then he'll set up his business.
Then
he would never
it.
Want to leave. He will make it his own, like, city of residence.
That's such a smart way to look at city development.
I was like, okay, new term, lovability.
Lovability.
Make your cities lovable and increase the lovability. Someone will have soon a qualitative index for that, and they'll start doing business reports on it. But thank you so much.
On that lovable note.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Anika, for joining me today.
No problem. Of course, a pleasure to be here always with my unsolicited opinions. But that is a wrap for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Smashy Business Show. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels at Smashy Business and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. A big shout out, as always, to our 1.5 million monthly listeners across all platforms. Which includes Love in Dubai, Smashy Sports, very important, goes out on Monday and Friday. We're trying to do it every day. So, thank you so much. Have a great day and see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Bye.